Fear not. These two words appear many a time in the scripture, about 100 times. It is intriguing to know that the first two words that the risen Christ spoke to the women at the tomb, by the way, those women were the first witnesses of his resurrection, were also fear not. If the same Christ appeared to us this morning in our midst, I believe he would say the exact same words to us, fear not. This morning we are going to think about fear, as I said, and we'll consider how we overcome our fears. Let me walk you through today's text. First, let me explain how terror gripped the soldiers and the women. Very early morning on the first Easter 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, at the tomb where Jesus was laid, there was a severe earthquake because the angel of the Lord was descending from heaven and he rolled away the stone from the tomb. You could imagine rumbling all over. The angel looked like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow, the scripture says. The guards were terrified and they were so shaken. I'm using the right word, shaken. They share the same word, shaken, for the earthquake here. That they became like dead men. The women also witnessed the whole thing with their very eyes. And I don't think the women were any braver than the soldiers in terms of fright. They must have been equally terrified to their core, if not more. Not to the soldiers, but to the women, the angel greeted, "Do not be afraid, fear not." Literal translation would be, "Stop fearing." Put a stop to your fear. Then the angel went on and told the women to go ahead and tell the disciples to meet the risen Christ in Galilee. So the women started running to their place. They were filled with two emotions. First one is fear, and second one is great joy, the Bible says. I never experienced that. Fear at the same time, great joy. Have you experienced that? Any one of you? But anyway, it's interesting. They were still filled with fear, and on their way to the disciples, Jesus, the risen Christ, met them and said the exact same words as the angel. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Stop fearing. The key word this morning is fear. And let me begin with a definition. What do I mean by fear? My own definition. Fear is an emotional reaction to dangers and threats, either real or imaginary, in our lives. If you want to know a little more in-depth definition, here is Oxford Dictionary defines fear as a noun, I quote, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Fear as verb, I quote, be afraid of someone or something as likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. Well, you got the idea. Now, speaking of fear, in the 21st century, we are surrounded and daily bombarded with all kinds of fear. Fear of death, for example, fear of illness, either of our own or of our loved ones, and fear of losing jobs, and fear of natural disasters, fear of terrorism, and fear of violence and war, and fear of immoral society, and fear of uncertain future, and the list goes on. The media do not help us alleviating our fear either. In fact, the opposite is true. Now, that's the kind of world we are living in. Until the Lord comes again, you and I will have to deal with lots of fears, big or small, in our lives every day. Now, although God is fully aware that we are a creature of fear, He warns us to fear no one or nothing in life but the Lord Himself. The only person we need to fear, God says, is the Lord. The rest we should never. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus commands us, I quote, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him, God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Fears that are prolonged and the fears that are undealt with properly can cause serious hazards in our spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being. You don't need further explanation on that. The real question, therefore, is how can we prevent or even overcome our fears? God's Word, the Bible, provides three ways to cope with and overcome fears. They are time-tested and God-approved. They're ancient, but work the best, far better than any human psychological approach or medicine in that matter. So the first solution to our fears is one word, Emmanuel. It's Hebrew word meaning God with us, God. The conviction that God is with us dispels fears. The knowledge that God is fighting for us calms us down. I'm going to throw in a few more, the paraphrased sentences from the Bible. God will not forsake us or fail us until His work in us is done. The battle is not ours, but God's. He will help us, and He has called us to be His children. He knows us by name, and we are His, and He will take good care of us. Those are God's promises for you and for me to claim. Therefore, we should never be afraid of anything or anybody or any situation in our lives. Listen again, Isaiah 41:10, where God says, "Fear not." You may ask, "How can I?" And God says, "Because I am with you," once again, Emmanuel. We need to practice this thing, Emmanuel, day in, day out. God's presence within us through the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you a story of a man who experienced the presence of God and overcame his fear. Suffering from a mysterious pain, this gentleman consulted with his physician. The physician ran a battery of tests, all of which turned out negative. Then the doctor recommended him a CAT scan. So as the man waited for the CAT scan, he became more and more fearful. Lonely and helpless, he arrived for the test. And during the procedure, however, he experienced a presence with a capital P that relieved his anxiety and filled him with a sense of well-being. He said later, I quote, "During the CAT scan, with the clicking of the technology to remind me of the mysteries surrounding me, I began to repeat one of the promises of my faith. Remember," Jesus says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Matthew 28:20. And then I understood more fully than ever before what it means to call Jesus Emmanuel. Unquote. You see that? This man practiced it. He repeated saying the promises of his faith. "Remember, I am with you, Emmanuel." The second solution to our fears is this, for us to remember how mighty our God is. He is great and awesome. Remember what God has done for you in the past. The same God who rescued you from troubles is able and will do it again for you in times of fear. How many of you heard of the name Nehemiah? Yes, some of them, Nehemiah is one of the leaders in Israel. During the 5th century before Christ was born, what happened is that he worked for the king. At the time, the people of Israel were in exile, Babylonian captivity, to be more like it. Anyway, so he was serving the king, and he asked for a special favor from the king. Your Majesty, can I go back to my land, Jerusalem? The king granted his wish, so he became a governor of the Jerusalem. By the time he arrived in the town of Jerusalem, everything was in ruins, and the walls all gone, destroyed. So Nehemiah wanted to build, the first thing to protect the people, to build the walls around, right? So while he was encouraging people to build the walls in the city of Jerusalem, what happened is that the neighbors surrounding, they never liked this Jews, you know, building up again. So they harassed the people of Israel. People were very discouraged. And this is what Nehemiah says in chapter 4, verse 14. When I saw their fear, my people's fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them, referring to your enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. I hope by now you see the pattern here. Whenever the fear strikes the people of God, the first word coming from God is that do not fear. Do not be afraid of your enemy. And just remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Let me tell you another story. This time the story of Exodus. Moses was leading over, 600,000 people out of Egypt, and they're on the march. Then what happened? They just got stuck there because in front of them there were Red Sea with no single boat. And they were chased by the Egyptian chariots, hundreds of them following them to kill them all. People began to panic. Oh, we're doomed here. Woe to us. Moses said to the people, what do you think he said? Do not fear. Isn't that interesting? Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Folks, direct quote from Exodus 14. You know, every year around this time, the Jewish folks celebrate Passover. What do you think they do as they do the Seder meal and all kinds of things? They remember how great God is who brought them out of Egypt. They are reminded that the same mighty hands of God who delivered them from the hands of the Egyptian and the slavery, the same mighty hands of God will deliver and protect them again and again in the future. Second way to defeat and overcome fears is remember how great our God is. The third approach that we could overcome fears is to fill our hearts with love. Simply because love casts away fear. As you fill your heart with love, the love of God and the love of people, it will leave no room for fears to come in. Even the existing fears in your heart will be gradually driven away, pushed out from your heart when you do it. Now once again, listen to God's word in Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, keep thinking about such things. Dwell on those things. Have you noticed that unclean and negative and even destructive thoughts, suicidal thoughts and all kinds of things march into your heart daily? I'm using the biblical word. That's what the word that Jesus used. These negative, unclean, destructive thoughts march into your heart daily. A lot of us have no protection. We are not even aware of what's happening in our hearts. Just simply let them come in. Let them come in. When they do, they come in from all directions almost effortlessly. We don't just protest at all. Worse, once they are planted in our hearts, what happened? they will not easily go away, like weeds in the garden. They're very tough to get rid of. As a matter of fact, they stay in your heart and begin to harass you for many years. A lot of us don't know what's going on. That's why it may sound kind of, whoa, new, something new to me. But that's exactly happening in your heart. Left alone, these negative and destructive thoughts would multiply and choke to death all the good and godly thoughts in your heart. The opposite is true too. Once you figured it out, what's going on in your heart spiritually, then you could do something about it. What you can do, you can kill and drive out those thoughts of darkness and negativity and destruction in your heart with what? Something positive. That's why there will be all these people positive thinking, coming in. It is time that you and I brought positive and godly and peaceful and honorable thoughts into our hearts. It is time that we pushed out those negative, life-sucking thoughts, including fears, with love, joy, and peace. As for closing, I will say this. Whenever fear grips you, we all experience that, even myself experienced. There was one night just all of a sudden I was gripped with fear out of nowhere. Didn't know what to do. But once again, whenever fear grips you, let's remember Jesus' command, fear not. Let us practice Emmanuel, God is with us. He is fighting for us. And in the midst of fear, let us also remember the Almighty God who has rescued us many a time before. Let us remember He is the Lord of all. He is in control of everything. And remember how He has seen you and me through. And He will do it again for us. Lastly, let us give no room to fears by what? Filling our hearts with love, joy, and peace, and God's word. And then we will be well. Let's bow our heads and pray. We use the word priorities, Lord. Yes, there are many priorities to set straight in our lives. Often we don't think of our heart as our number one priority. Oh yes, someone put it, money as number one priority, health as number one priority, but seldom, even your children, don't make their heart as number one priority. Yes, Lord, it's time that we set straight our priorities. Help us to take good care of our heart, because where our heart, all the life, and all the fears, and all the negative, all the positive thoughts convene together in our hearts. Help us be diligent in taking good care of our hearts. Remembering God is always with us. Remembering the Almighty God. And remembering by filling our heart with love and joy and peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.